This is Express FM.
Supported by Highbury College. We are passionately pumping.
Jamolo's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamolo! Nonchalant! Brilliant! Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever. Forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
A much-changed Pompey side was certainly at the races in Cheltenham on Tuesday night.
Minoga, will he shoot with his left foot? He will, and he'll score! Minoga's first senior goal! Danley at the far post, nods it down. Hawula scores! Jordi Hawula shot across goal into the net! Straight through the goalkeeper, Flinders. Portsmouth have beaten Cheltenham Town by 3-0.
The Blues are now through to the last 16 of the Papa John's Trophy, where they'll take on Peterborough United in January. Midweek saw Jordi Hawula bag a brace to send Pompey on their way to victory. The striker is happy with life on the South Coast and determined to fight for his place in the team.
I'm confident whenever I'm coming off the bench or starting games. I'm always confident and I always feel like I'm going to get a chance in games, so I just need to keep working hard, keep doing what I'm doing, and hopefully I'll get my chance.
Between now and 7, we'll also be hearing from manager Kenny Jackett, who believes that his side are right up there with the best in the division.
I think with any squad in the division, I do think we can match up against them, but similarly we have to be at our best against everybody and anybody, because it's a tough division and it's hard to win games on a regular basis, but you know, we should never be afraid of anybody.
This weekend it's back to League One action and we're in familiar territory too. Portman Road is once again the destination for match day 17. Get in touch and send in your score predictions ahead of match, as well as your thoughts on Jordi Hawula and whether or not you would like to see his contract extended until the end of the campaign. So let's get straight into it, shall we? It's Friday, it's 6 p.m. and it's time now for the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome along to the Friday Football Hour here on the only radio station from a great waterfront city, Express FM. Driven to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. Head on over to stagecoachbus.com to find the latest travel updates and timetables in your area. Coming right your way tonight between now and 7 o'clock, we've got full reaction to Tuesday's trophy result in Gloucestershire, as well as a preview of tomorrow's League One fixture at Portman Road and a chat about Pompey's attacking options, of which there are now plenty. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can. Simply text your name and message, starting with the word Express, to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. This evening, we're after your score predictions ahead of this weekend's clash with Ipswich Town. But first, we're going to take you back to Tuesday night, as the Blues embarked upon yet another knockout campaign in the EFL Trophy. This time around, they were in Cheltenham to take on Michael Duff's League 2 High Flyers. Kenny Jackett named an entirely changed 11 to the one which beat Peterborough just 3 days prior, with a blend of youth and out-of-favour seniors teamed together to fight for a place in the round of 16. Your commentary team at the Jolly Rock Stadium was made up of Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and score!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Kenny Jackett's amazing record in this competition ended in the last meeting in this competition against West Ham's youngsters, beaten at Fratton Park, but Portsmouth have still made it through the group stages and still have the chance to progress this evening away here in Cheltenham against Wadden Road, against the League 2 High Flyer, who have made numerous changes this evening, but not quite as many as Portsmouth, who have made all 11 changes as they look to try and make round 3 for the third consecutive year. 30 yards out on the right, early cross into the box, a lovely cross, and Downing's header almost goes into his own net. It's over his own bar, behind for a corner, 0-0. Here it comes, delivery this time deep towards the far post, headed back across goal by Reid. Did he keep it in? Shot on goal over the bar. And Cheltenham, in the opening 2 minutes,
It's 0-0, but have threatened Portsmouth's goal twice. Close looks in the air off the run of Minoga. Minoga with a touch in the box. Minoga, will he shoot with his left foot? He will, and he'll score! Minoga's first senior goal. Lashing it in with his left foot into the far corner. Stanley was screaming for him to pull it back to him. Instead, Minoga went himself. It's Cheltenham Town 0, Portsmouth 1. Spring has it. Left wing, just outside the penalty area. Waiting for Hawula to make a run. Looking for Stanley at the far post. Nods it down. Hawula scores. 2-0 Portsmouth. Great link-up play between Stanley and Hawula. He couldn't miss his second Portsmouth goal. 28 on the clock. It's Cheltenham 0, Portsmouth 2. Morris spreads it down the right. Hawula's in the area here. Jordi Hawula, shot across goal into the net. Straight through the goalkeeper, Flinders. And Hawula has his second of the night. So easy for Portsmouth. Cheltenham might have changed formation, changed personnel. They haven't changed the direction of this game. Cheltenham 0, Portsmouth 3. Give and go to Stanley, who opts to spread it out to the right-hand side to Minoga. Right corner of the box for Pompey. Minoga driving into the area. Minoga across the face of goal. Too much on it. Pring somehow diverts it back towards the goal. What happened there? Did that cross the line? Is it a corner? Is it a goal? It's nothing, according to the assistant. Oh, Pompey slip at the back. And Cheltenham drive to the penalty area. Good chance here. Shot on goal. Comfortable save for Bass. And realistically, Miles could have done better. The game comes to an end here at Wadden Road. And Portsmouth have beaten Cheltenham Town by 3-0. And they are through to the third round of the Papa John's Trophy.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there from the midweek win over Cheltenham Town, where Pompey returned to winning ways and rock and rolled into the final 16 of this season's Papa John's Trophy. Joining me this evening to discuss that result and to look ahead to the next game, first and foremost, a very good evening to writer and podcaster Andy Mitchell-Moore. Andy, thank you for calling in to chat to us tonight, my friend.
Hiya, Jake. Good to be here, mate. Hope you're well.
I'm very well, thank you. Always well after a Pompey win, of course. The Blues are into the next stage of a Papa John's Trophy, Ben Andy, and are now just 3 wins away, believe it or not, from another Wembley appearance. There's just some sort of marriage between Pompey and this competition, which we can't quite seem to get our heads around. But at the end of the day, Andy, a win is a win, and that should only boost the confidence around the squad.
That's exactly it. Winning breeds winning, doesn't it? That tends to be how it works, and it is nice. I mean, in a season like this where the games are so congested, we have no idea at the moment, you know, what injuries we're going to pick up because there are so many midweek games. So the fact that squad players and the younger teams are, you know, getting minutes and winning games against league sides can only be a good thing, particularly looking towards the end of the season.
Yeah. And alongside you tonight, Andy, we have sports journalist Dean Adams, who is a reporter for Sky Sports and, of course, a Pompey supporter as well. Dean, welcome back to the show. A pleasure, as always, to have you join us.
Evening, Jake. How you doing?
Very well, very well. Hope you're well as well. It's been a few weeks since we last heard from you. I trust you're keeping safe, of course.
Yeah, good. Looking forward to the Ipswich game tomorrow.
Yes, it's going to be a big one, isn't it? And we'll come on to that a little later in the show, Dean. But we previously mentioned there about the confidence and really the momentum that wins in the trophy give to a team. But in all truth, the players that won us the game on Tuesday night are completely different to the ones we expect to feature at Ipswich tomorrow. Do you think this actually matters, or does the technicality of having that win to our name still have a positive effect on the entire squad?
I think with football this day and age, you need your 24, 25-man squad. And I think every one of those players that played on in midweek is vitally important. They're talking about Geordie's contract. I think you look at Ellis Harrison, and he's only just coming back from injury. And that leaves you with John Marquis. And I think you need Geordie for the full season. And I know we're going to talk about that later, but every one of those players on, was it Tuesday night, is vitally important.
And it was 11 changes on Tuesday night, as we mentioned, Andy, from the win over Peterborough on Saturday. It was a blend of, you know, youth players and fringe players, you know, squad members who are slightly out of favour within what you'd call the first team who play in league matches. But when you actually look at the performance and you actually highlight what went well, actually it was an all-round fantastic, efficient performance from the entire squad. And in my opinion, you know, that's something which impresses me, considering how little game time or competitive game time these players have had. Imagine just been thrown together against a good side and they've come away looking as though they've been playing week in, week out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can definitely see a rhyme and reason in that selection for the Cheltenham game, in that you've got quite a a more experienced spine to the team, especially looking sort of in the more defensive positions, having, you know, Downing, Bolton, Close and Morrison there as that real spine of the team. And then obviously Nicolaisen has joined a bit more recently. And then having some sort of younger flair players who, you know, trying to impress and show off a little bit when they're on the ball. So it's a nice mixture of the two. And yeah, absolutely, it worked pretty well on Tuesday in that we looked fairly solid, but then going forward looked dangerous with, yeah, young adventurous players wanting to stamp their mark a bit and give that impression that they should be involved around the match day squad for the first team.
Yeah, and it was great to see on Tuesday night, Dean, Hadji Munoga score his first goal in professional football.
Yeah, it was. I'm really pleased for him because he is a good young prospect. And it's interesting to hear him say the other night that he's now second choice right back. And it makes you wonder where that leaves James Bolton as well. But Hadji's been great. I've seen him play for the youth team and he's been absolutely superb. His energy, the way he attacks, the way he gets forward. It's great that he got his first goal and he's definitely one for the future and he's one we need to keep hold of too.
Yeah, Hadji Munoga, as we mentioned there, Randy, a player we've seen a fair number of times this season. You know, Dean highlights there about his comments on Tuesday night about being a second choice right back. He's certainly come through and this could be the breakout season for him. It's going to be very tough to get over Callum Johnson at, you know, in that starting position, but starting to actually, you know, make his claim within the Football League, and you've got to give credit to him because he's come a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I mentioned after the last Papa John's Trophy game that he didn't look like he was one of, it didn't look like he was a youth player playing one of his early games for the first team. It looked like he was one of the senior members of the team helping along the youth players in the team. And I think that's a reflection of how quickly he's fitted into that first team environment. And obviously he's a very physical player. He'll get himself around. He's not upset about, you know, not making friends with the opposition on the pitch, which is what you want. And yeah, he's obviously a big lad physically, but with good technique going forward. So, I mean, I do think that he'll be getting league starts quite regularly by the end of the season, particularly when, you know, the fatigue of a few months of back-to-back games really kicks in.
Yeah. And Dean, Andy mentions there about Hadji Munoga's kind of, you know, desire to make himself known in a game. He's not afraid to put in a challenge or two, but is that something you'd perhaps like to see toned down just a little bit? Because he has picked up a few yellow cards now and he picked up one again on Tuesday night, and that does mean that he will be suspended for the next trophy game. So, yes, you know, he's a very young player and, like we say, this is really his first kind of full season coming into the first team, but that's something you'd like to see just cut out of the game a little bit.
Do you know what? If I was Kenny, I'd tell him to carry on in exactly what he's doing at the moment.
Yeah.
I think if you tell a player to tone it down a little bit, it could take away some energy, it could take away a lot from his game. Mm. And I don't think you tell anyone to tone it down. I think he's young, he's going to make mistakes, he's raw. I think you let him learn. It is a big stage to learn on. But I think you just let him play and you let him, he'll learn from his mistakes.
Absolutely fair enough. Can't argue with that. We've got an email now from Alan Swift who says, "Hi, Jake and friends. Well, Jordi Huwula certainly made a contribution on Tuesday night. I've said it before, but as he gets fitter with more match time, the better he'll get. A definite addition for me for an end-of-season contract, at least. Longer, maybe, before another team snaps him up. He has a real eye for goal. He seems to be offering something different, which may add some more creativity to the front line, perhaps in a front three of Marquis, Harrison and Huwula, with Morris, Harness and Curtis in behind Jacobs to challenge when ready. Although that may be a bit too adventurous for Jacket and maybe too forward-thinking as well, but I like the sound of it. These are quality players who should make it work. A win tomorrow by 2-0, says Alan in Southsea. And he then says, "P.S. I know the complications of width or lack of, but it's still workable. Our wide two are very flexible. A flexible 4-3-3, and a lot of teams use it." Thank you to Alan Swift on the emails there. Okay, so we've had some reaction there from Andy, Dean, and of course Alan on the emails following the midweek win over Cheltenham. But what did goal scorer Jordi Huwula make of the game? He spoke to Ollie Marsh on the touchline after the final whistle.
Yeah, I'm really pleased, you know. I thought the whole team done really well today, and we're just happy that we're through to the next round.
Two well-taken goals, that's your bread and butter, really, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I've been working hard pretty much since I've got here, just trying to get in the box, trying to get them one-touch finishes in the box, and luckily it came off today.
You were playing alongside Alfie Stanley. Obviously, you're the more experienced of the front two. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, it was really good. You know, we played together in the West Ham game as well, so we've got a little feel of how we each other play. And then today, I thought he done really well, and I thought I done really well as well.
We haven't spoken to you about your goal against Kings Lynn. That was a real scorcher into the top corner, wasn't it? You must have been happy with that one.
Yeah, I was really pleased, you know, to come off the bench and to score, and just to get through to the next round. I feel like the team is doing really well and just need to continue playing like this now.
And of course, you've been scoring pretty much every time you've been on the pitch. You must feel like you're getting closer to that elusive start at the moment.
Yeah, you know, I'm confident whether I'm coming off the bench or starting games. I'm always confident and I always feel like I'm going to get a chance in games, so I just need to keep working hard, keep doing what I'm doing, and hopefully I'll get my chance.
And of course, that must include Ipswich at the weekend, which is a big game for the side.
Yeah, Ipswich is going to be a really tough game, but I think we can go there and get our 3 points. We just need to keep working hard, keep doing the things we've been doing in the last few games, and we should come away with the win.
There must be a good mood around the squad at the moment. What's it been like in training? Is everybody sort of getting along and working hard and enjoying it?
Yeah, there's a good team spirit in the camp at the moment. As you can see on Saturday as well, we won the game comfortably, and tonight we won the game comfortably as well. So we just need to keep doing the basics right, keep working hard, and hopefully we'll just see where that takes us.
Jordi Hawula there with his short but sweet thoughts from Tuesday's win over League 2 Cheltenham Town, which has set the Blues up with an away tie against Peterborough United in the round of 16. That game will take place on the week commencing 11th of January. We just heard there from Jordi Hawula, Andy, a player who got 2 goals on Tuesday night and a fantastic contribution to the team, an all-round great performance, adding to his goal, of course, against Kings Lynn in the FA Cup not too long ago as well. So a player who we spoke about in recent weeks, who, you know, is looking to earn a contract until the end of the season, but we've not really been able to see too much of him due to, well, really the form of the players we've got already at our disposal. What do you make of this situation? Because he's certainly a player who, as Alan mentioned in his email a couple of moments ago, he adds a different element to Pompey's game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first start was against the West Ham under-21s, and I think in that game you could probably tell that he hadn't had any, you know, competitive game time for a while. In the game since then, the opportunities he's had, I mean, it's 3 goals in 3 starts, and then about 10 minutes, I think, in total of substitute time in the league. So you can't argue with the fact that he's taken his chance, because he's scored 3 in 3 starts, and the quality of the finishes, I mean, that finish against Kingsland Town was sort of, you know, it was almost FIFA be a pro style, sort of passing it into the far corner, into the top corner.
Yeah.
It was just really nice technique. So, I mean, if you look at the way we're playing at the moment, the fact that, you know, Ryan Williams was playing up top with Marquis for a bit in the Peterborough game, there's certainly an argument that there's no reason that, you know, Hawula can't be rotated into that and have Williams as an impact sub on the wing later in the game. I mean, we're playing a system where you can absolutely involve him. And, I mean, he's taking his chances when he's getting them, so he's earning league time. It's as simple as that, in my opinion.
We'll come on again to Jordi Hawula after the break, Dean, but talking about the draw that Pompey've got in the next round of the competition, arguably, probably the toughest draw we could have got at this stage, considering the teams that are still left in the competition. The round of 16 is still regionalised north and south, but after that, it does open up to the entire country, and the teams that are left, you know, in our region in the competition, you've got the likes of Cambridge United, Oxford, Bristol Rovers, but the team we've been drawn against is Peterborough United. We know our promotion rivals. What do you make of that draw? Is this one of which we could finally see Pompey's fantastic run in this competition end?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? I think Peterborough are a good side and we had a fantastic result against them last weekend. I think the big question is, what sort of side are they going to put out in the game? Mm. What sort of side are we going to put out in the game? Does each manager take it more seriously now we're at this stage? We just don't know, do we? I think the fact we've already won the trophy, we were in the final last year, which obviously hasn't happened yet or might not happen. How serious is Kenny going to take this?
Yeah.
I think we probably could see 11 more changes from the previous game.
Don't forget, we'd love to hear from you back home as well, whether you've got a point to make about Tuesday's performance, anything to add to what the guys have said so far this evening, or even a prediction for tomorrow afternoon's game at Ipswich. Please don't hesitate to get in touch. All the usual ways to get in touch, it's at ExpressFM if you're on Twitter. 81400 is the number to text. Be sure to start those with the word Express. Otherwise, you can email Pompey at ExpressFM.com or visit Facebook.com/PompeyLive. After the break, we'll hear from manager Kenny Jackett, who believes that his side should not be fearful of those around them in the league standings.
You do need to be consistent and win consistent in all types of different games. There's no point just turning up for the big games. But, you know, with the likes of Ipswich, Fleetwood, Hull, we have nothing to be afraid of when we're playing those sides. But similarly, you know, we have to produce our best and be at our very best to win those games.
So don't go anywhere and stay tuned to hear the full pre-match interview with the gaffer, as well as our very own preview of Pompey's league fixture at Portman Road, right here on 93.7 Express FM. You're listening to the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very warm welcome back to the Football Hour here on Express FM, driven to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South, who are still getting you across the city, even during these difficult times. We've got another email here from Stephen Jerome, who says, "Hi lads, it was another great performance from Chop Pompey on Tuesday night. I thought Cheltenham started brightly for the first 10 minutes or so, but then we grew into the game a little bit more. And after the first goal, we dominated more and I thought we were really on top by half-time. Great to see Minoga score his first senior Pompey goal, but I also thought Jordi Hawula had a great game and scored two very good goals. Though you do have to say for the third goal, it was poor goalkeeping from their point of view. The goalkeeper wouldn't have been happy by being beaten at his near post, but nonetheless, it was a well-taken shot by Hawula. I'm pleased to see us go through to the third round of the league trophy. One question I have, though, for you guys in the studio. Do you think there's still a chance that last season's league trophy final against Salford will still be played with fans in attendance? It would be a shame if it had to be played behind closed doors," says Steve in Southsea. I'm going to throw that one to you first, Dean. Last season's trophy final against Salford City.
Yeah,
it's a tough one. I know it's something fans have been, you know, asking for a very long time. And, you know, in all fairness, we've not really heard too much about it apart from the fact that it will, you know, continue to be delayed until such an agreement will be made.
It's such
a tough one.
It's become a bit embarrassing now, hasn't it? Because I think by the time they get round to organising the final for last year, we'll literally be at the stage where we're going to be either in or there's going to be a final for this year's trophy. So I think you play it behind closed doors and you get it done, you get rid of it, and it's done and dusted. I think that's the only option at the moment.
Yeah. Andy, what are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, well, we're the longest holders of the FA Cup, thanks to World War II. We're the longest holders of whatever you want to call this trophy, thanks to COVID-19. We're just smashing it, thanks to the global tragedies. So, I think just get it done and get it written down who won the game. Let's be honest, it's not going to set anyone, you know, really too excited at this point in time. I think play it and play the younger players who got us to the final on this occasion and see how they get on.
And I've seen, you know, a lot of reaction on social media in regards to the game. And I know that, you know, social media doesn't represent 55,000 people who have bought tickets, but a lot of what I've seen is, you know, people just aren't bothered about it anymore. You know, it's old news.
It's a shame, Jay, because the only personal interest I've got in it really is not just because I'm a Pompey fan, but I've got a 7-year-old boy, and I was looking forward to taking him to see Portsmouth at Wembley for the first time. So from that point of view, I'm absolutely gutted, but it's just become so embarrassing. You play it behind closed doors and you get rid of it now.
It is a shame as well, Andy, because we are slowly starting to see the return of supporters to grounds up and down the country. But when you look at the tickets that have been sold for this game, you know, 55,000 or so from Pompey, 2,000 or 3,000 from Salford. It's near on 60,000 tickets. And yes, it's going to be a long process in refunding them all, but you can't see a return of fans to that volume really before the end of this season. You know, from what's going on around the world, from what we've seen with the R numbers and these tier systems that are coming into place, we're lucky to get 2,000. We're lucky to see some grounds welcoming 4,000 to their stadiums. But 60,000 fans, do you think that's something for next season? By which point, what's the point?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you look at where people are going to be travelling from as well, especially for a Wembley final. I mean, using myself as an example, I come down to home games at Fratton. I go down to every home game, but I'm based in Oxford. We're tier two at the moment. But the Wembley final is going to be one of those games that Pompey fans from all over the country come to. How are you going to restrict people coming from tier three areas? It's not going to happen. We're not going to have that many people in the stadium, I don't think, for the next 18 months, 2 years. That's my personal opinion based on what I've read. I think get it done either behind closed doors or just do a random ballot. 10% of Pompey fans get it, and then potentially Salford could have, you know, a larger proportion of their allocation because they've got a smaller fan base.
Oh, we love a ballot, don't we?
Absolutely love a ballot. It's an integral part of being a Pompey fan at the moment. But I think, yeah, it's just a case of getting it done potentially with minimal fans. But I think I agree with Dean Point today. At this point, it's unfortunate, yeah. But you get it played, and you know, even if it's the week before this year's final, we could be the shortest ever holders of a trophy as well if we hold it for 7 days. So, yeah, either way.
The other thing, Andy and Jake, is they've had a change in manager. They've had a change in players. We've got a change in a few players, and it's. I know it's one club v another club, and that will always be the case, but it's a different set of players, different set of managers as such, and I don't know, it's not the same, is it?
No, it's not the same. And, yeah, I think we could be here all night talking about this, couldn't we? Because it is something which is obviously on the minds of every Pompey supporter, and hopefully we will soon get an update on that trophy final, whether it will be played behind closed doors, as you mentioned, or whether it will be... you know, put back to another date. We don't know. But we'll try and bring you all of the information when we do get it, Pompey fans. We've gone off on a bit of a tangent. Let's go back to Tuesday night then. Pompey 3-0 winners over Cheltenham Town. 11 changes from Pompey, Andy. 8 changes for Cheltenham. You could argue it was basically second string against, you know, second string. So, but when you look at the players who did feature for Pompey, we've already mentioned Hadji Munoga. We've already spoken about Jordi Huwula. But someone like Ben Close, who... you know, has found game time in the league limited in recent weeks. Andy Cadden's come into the side. He's looked a, you know, a perfect suitor alongside Tom Naylor, who, you know, let's face it, can't really be moved from that position. To get him minutes on Tuesday night, and a very good performance of that as well, was also important, as well as the result.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's struggled to get this consistent game time at all, hasn't he? It's been quite convoluted, and he's not been able to get any rhythm going. So when he has... you know, come into the side in some of these Papa John's Trophy games, he's not taken it by the scruff of the neck like you'd hope he would. But I mean, in this last game against Cheltenham, I thought that there was a bit of a difference there in that he sort of did run the midfield a bit more. Obviously, he played that ball out to Hadji Munoga for the opening goal, and yeah, it seems to have more of a presence in the game and run the show a little bit more, which is, you know, what you want to see. We all really want him to do well as a Pompey lad. And yeah, grasp his opportunity a little bit more and certainly put his case forward. But as you say, it's a very difficult central midfield to break into at the moment because that is that spine of the team that Jacket loves so much. And they are performing well. That sort of that Taylor Cannon combination. Naylor, singing of Taylor from BBC. That Naylor Cannon combination is firing so well, it's very difficult to break into that. Yeah. So. Yeah, all he can do his bit in the cup games.
Love the pun. The Cannon and Naylor combination firing very well, Andy. Love it. I don't know if you meant that, but you said it.
Absolutely not. Not in the slightest.
It was good to see as well, Dean. I think you've got to give credit to the back line as well. It looked to be a back three, you know, a centre-back kind of trio of James Bolton, Rasmus Nicolaisen and Paul Downing, who captained the side on Tuesday night. Three players who, again, out of favour in Kenny Jackett's league plans this season. And in particular, Paul Downing has got a lot of criticism over the last season and a half. So it was great to see them, you know, them commanding their positions well and keeping a clean sheet too.
Yeah, I saw the West Ham game when Paul Downing played centre-back with James Bolton, and both of them looked pretty solid, to be honest. Mm. And it's interesting to see Paul Downing, who I think it's pretty obvious he wants to leave the club. I think the club wanted him out as well, by the looks of it. And it's interesting to see that Kenny made him captain for both the sort of last recent games.
Yeah.
So that's fairly interesting to see, considering people like Ben Close has previously captained the side. And yeah, it's interesting. But James Bolton's the other interesting one because he's been playing centre-back. He's obviously third-choice right-back at the moment. But James Bolton looks very vocal. He looks quite steady as a centre-half. And I've sort of liked what I've seen from him as well.
Yeah.
I think it's worth saying, guys, at the moment, like, if you look at that Cheltenham Town lineup, they had Reuben Reid playing up top. It's not like they had sort of a 17, 18-year-old youth player.
Yeah.
Reuben Reid is an experienced player who, with an eye for goal, who Pompey have been linked with multiple times. So the fact that they kept him pretty quiet is good praise, I think.
Yeah, they still had some strong names within their team as well, didn't they, Andy? Like, you know, the likes of Ben Toza, Alfie May, Reuben Reid, as you mentioned, Andy Williams, their top goal scorer in the league so far this season. Some players who have got vast Football League experience. And yes, it was 8 changes to their side, but like you say, those 4 really attacking players who, you know, we just highlighted there against a back three of, you know, Downing, Bolton and Nicolaisen, whose confidence at the moment must be a little bit shot, you know, with a lack of game time. They did put in a good shift considering all of those factors.
Yeah, exactly. It's quite an interesting sort of mixture when you look at it, in that we had that sort of quite experienced defensive spine to the team, and then they had most of their experience in the attacking positions. It's quite an interesting sort of combination of the two. And you'd have to say that, yeah, our second string sort of defensive players won the battle of the two. Yeah, absolutely.
I think congratulations as well, by the way, to Gerard Story, the Northern Irishman, making his debut for Pompey on Tuesday night, coming on from the bench to replace Charlie Bell in the 62nd minute. So congratulations to Gerard Story for making his Pompey debut on Tuesday night. And I think you've got to give a hand to Alfie Stanley as well, another game under his belt. Dean on Tuesday night against Cheltenham Town, a good performance as well. Didn't quite get the goal, but maybe he was after, but got a great assist for Jordi Huoulas.
Yeah, I've seen Alfie Stanley play a few games for Bognor Regis Town on loan. I saw him play for Bognor in pre-season and he scored a couple of goals. He looks a good, tidy young player and I like what I see of him. Maybe at the moment he's a little bit lightweight, and I think because of Ellis Harrison's recent injury and sort of John Marcus being the only striker, I think from that point of view you need to keep Jordi on until the end of the season. But yeah, Alfie's definitely one to be in or around the squad, and he's definitely got a future about him. He scores goals, and players like that you need to keep hold of.
Gav Jones on Twitter's got in touch. Good evening, gents. Personally, I think keeping Huoulas is a must. He's an incredible player that has received some harsh criticism, but how can you expect miracles from a player that is stuck on the bench and only gets games in the last 10 minutes, says Gav Jones on Twitter. And just a few bits of news before we do head over into the next part of the show. Duncan Turnbull, the goalkeeper, of course, contracted at Pompey. He's been sent back by Dulwich Hamlet. He can't get into the plans there for the National League South side, so potentially another loan move for Duncan Turnbull. And the game against Bristol City in the FA Cup in January, that's the third round clash, of course, at Ashton Gate, will be played on Sunday, the 10th of January. That's a 1:30 kickoff. Of course, you can listen to it here on Express FM. We'll have full build-up to that FA Cup clash with Championship side Bristol City. OK, after the break, we'll take a closer look at Pompey's next fixture. The Blues return to League One action, and it's back to Portman Road to take on third-place Ipswich Town. But before we do get to that, we're going to hand you over to Ollie Marsh, who caught up with the gaffer at the training ground yesterday afternoon. Kenny first spoke about the last time these two sides met, when the Blues edged out 3-2 winners in the first round of the FA Cup.
Yeah, hard-earned victory there last time, very hard-earned, went to extra time, and two good teams. And if you're looking at the league table, the first third of the season proves that. You know, we're third or fourth in the league, nothing between us in terms of our records and our points. So, I think high-standard game. Both sides have a good chance of chasing those promotion slots at the end of the season. And as I say, in terms of the cup game, you know, it's a really tight game, a very good game, and I'm expecting the same. You know, we'll have to be at our best. We'll have to really produce our best quality on Saturday to do well and try to get the win that we want.
Do you feel that the fact you've already been there and won will give you more confidence going into Saturday?
I think we can have confidence in, you know, all of our games. You know, we went to Sunderland, we've been to Lincoln, you know, they're big clubs, and we've won those games. So I think with any squad in the division, I do think we can match up against them. I do think that. But similarly, we have to be at our best against everybody and anybody, because, you know, it's a tough division and it's hard to win games on a regular basis. But, you know, we should never be afraid of anybody. And I do think our squad matches up. But similarly, to get the type of points total you need to get to, you know, right to the top, you need to be averaging 2 points a game. The top two at the moment are above that. And Lincoln and Hull have done very, very well, but, you know, there's a pack chasing them and we're in that pack, and you do need to be consistent and win consistent in all types of different games. There's no point just turning up for the big games. But you know, with the likes of Ipswich, Fleetwood, Hull, we have nothing to be afraid of when we're playing those sides. But similarly, you know, we have to produce our best and be at our very best to win those games.
You'd imagine that the atmosphere from the returning Ipswich fans is going to be a good one. Do you feel that your players are equipped to be able to deal with an opposition crowd again?
Yeah, I do, and I think it's part of it anyway. It's what we want. It'll be an advantage at Fratton Park, in my opinion, and it always is. You know, if we have always, when we play at home, the challenge of putting on a good performance. We do that. We've got a fantastic crowd, and that lifts our players, and we produce a good home record. So I think that you know, Saturday against Peterborough proved that with the, you know, we can do it. But similarly going the other way, then we're going to have to really dig deep and dig in when we go away from home. That's normal in football. We do want it to get back to normal, and as you say, you know, with this particular game, yes, you know, there'll be some home fans there, and our performance has to warrant overcoming that hurdle.
As you mentioned, we're roughly a third of the way through the season. You're in that chasing pack, as you said. Are you happy with the position you're in at the moment?
We're in a good position. Nobody's got away from us. And, you know, we've earned the right to look forward and not be, let's say, analysing, you know, while we're down the bottom or maybe in the relegation places or whatever. We're in a good position. And as I said, we can look forward and work out, you know, how we're going to be consistent and try to keep pace. And if possible, you know, do well to put some daylight between ourselves and some teams. You know, that happens during the course of the season with you know, the sides in the playoff places. And, you know, we want to be one of those sides doing that. So we've earned the privilege, we've earned the right to look forward. And there's some big games coming up as well in a big period, so we should enjoy it as well.
And just finally, any new injury news at all? Is Michael Jacobs still in contention?
He is, yeah. I think he'd be OK for the weekend. We'll see how he goes on Thursday and Friday in training. But other than that, we have no other injuries, and yeah, I'm expecting Michael Jacobs to be fit as well, which is good news. No injuries from either Peterborough or Cheltenham.
The pre-match thoughts of manager Kenny Jackett there. When we return, the three of us here will be taking a closer look at tomorrow's opponents, as well as going through your score predictions too. So join us again for the conclusion of the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back for the third and final time to this evening's Football Hour on Express FM, brought to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Download their app today from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to plan your next journey. Still to come tonight, myself, Andy and Dean have another game to look forward to. The Blues are back at Portman Road tomorrow afternoon for a League One clash with Ipswich Town. And this is your final reminder to get involved with the conversation tonight. Be sure to get in touch before we hand you over to Connor Mosley at 7 o'clock. Text your name and message starting with the word Express to 81400. Email in to pompey@expressfm.com. Include @expressfm within your tweets or head on over to facebook.com/pompeylive. Let's now take a more in-depth look at this weekend's opponents, and once again, it's promotion rivals Ipswich Town who welcome Pompey to East Anglia.
Following on from Tuesday's EFL Trophy victory over Cheltenham Town, it's now time for the Blues to return to league action. In doing so, they travel back to Portman Road to face off once again with the side they defeated in the first round of the FA Cup, Ipswich Town.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The last time these two sides met was just 5 weeks ago when Pompey left East Anglia with a 3-2 extra time win over the Tractor Boys. Sean Raggett netted 111th minute from what transpired to be an offside position to send Kenny Jackett's side into round two after a spirited second half comeback from the host to draw things level after regular time. This time around, however, there are arguably more important matters to attend to. Both clubs will be desperately aiming to get out of this division come the end of the season, so 3 points for either this weekend would be a huge statement to their promotion rivals.
Manager.
Former Motherwell, Borussia Dortmund and Celtic midfielder Paul Lambert remains the man in the Ipswich dugout. The now 51-year-old took charge of the Tractor Boys in October 2018 and in doing so became the first person to lead both East Anglian clubs, having managed rivals Norwich City between 2009 and 2012. That three-year stint at Carrow Road began with the club in League One and ended up in the Premier League, earning Lambert a fine reputation with Canary supporters. During his time in charge of Ipswich, however, the gaffer has won 32 out of 100 games. He reached the century during last week's 2-1 victory over Plymouth Argyle at Home Park.
One to watch.
30-year-old former Brighton and Crystal Palace youth prospect James Norwood is the player the Blues will be aiming to keep quiet this time around. Norwood, who began his senior career in East Sussex with Eastbourne Town, scored off the bench to equalise against Pompey in last month's cup clash and has so far failed to score in the league this term, although has made just the 6 appearances. The striker stands at 5'9" and accumulated 82 goals in 165 competitive games for Tranmere Rovers between 2000 2015 and 2019 before making the big money move to Portman Road, where he currently has 11 in 34.
Top scorer.
Welsh winger Gwion Edwards is the side's leading scorer in League One with 5 strikes to his name. That's 5 behind Blues forward John Marquis, who leads the way. The 27-year-old also has 3 assists to his name and averages 181 minutes between each goal, based upon having made just 11 appearances thus far. Edwards has only attempted 16 shots in total, giving him a goal conversion accuracy of 31% and a shot accuracy of 81%, given the number of shots on target, which is the best of any player in the top 20 scorers of League One.
Current form.
Although they did win in their previous outing, the Tractor Boys are on a barren run of form lately, and as a result, some supporters are calling for Paul Lambert's head. Ipswich claimed a 2-1 win over Plymouth last time out, but that stands as the club's only victory in the last 4 league matches, which have returned 2 defeats and a draw. The side currently sits 1 place above Portsmouth in the standings, in 3rd position behind Hull and Lincoln, picking up 29 points from 16 league matches so far this season. It's 3rd versus 4th, Ipswich Town versus Pompey, and all the unmissable action of this League One fixture on Pompey Live.
Mason Jordan there with a closer look at the Tractor Boys, Ipswich Town, who of course Pompey face off with tomorrow afternoon in match day 17 of this League One season. And Andy Mitchmore, familiar opponents for Pompey tomorrow afternoon. Of course, the Blues went up to Portman Road in October for the first round of this season's FA Cup. They ran away with a 3-2 extra time win, a rather controversial one of that as well. And you'd imagine as well that Ipswich, back with a home crowd behind them, you know, they might be looking for a bit of revenge tomorrow afternoon.
I don't know if you can call our third goal controversial. I think it was pretty obvious whether it was offside or not, Jake.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I think that home crowd could count either way. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on Paul Lambert right now. He went off on one at the local media a couple of games ago.
A few managers missed division doing that, aren't they?
Sorry, Jake?
There's a few managers in this division doing that, isn't there?
Very true, but it did make me appreciate Kenny Jackett in terms of how he sort of outwardly faces the fan base. But anyway, yeah, so there's a lot of pressure on Lambert, I think, and the majority of the fans don't actually want him at the club at the moment. Therefore, if they've got home fans in, it's the first chance they've had to voice any sort of discontent. If we can get on top of the game early, it'll be quite interesting to see the effect of a relatively small number of fans.
Yeah.
Potentially getting frustrated at the side. So I think the first 20-25 minutes are huge. That being said, it's obviously a tough game. Ipswich aren't any mugs. They played a younger team against us in the FA Cup, whereas we played a full strength team and they still gave us a run for our money.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a tough game, but I think, yeah, the first 20-25 minutes are going to be big.
Stephen Jerome on the emails back in touch. He says, I'm expecting a very tough game tomorrow, probably a little tougher than the FA Cup match considering all the changes that they made on that day. But I'm confident we can go to Ipswich and nick a win, going for a 2-1 Pompey victory, says Steve in Southsea. And mentioned within his interview just before the break, Dean, Kenny Jackett mentioned that Michael Jacobs has returned and he will be, well, likely to be included within the match day squad tomorrow afternoon. He returned, as we know, to full training early this week. He wasn't included in Tuesday's victory over Cheltenham Town, but we can expect Michael Jacobs to feature in some sort of capacity this weekend.
Yeah, you look at our front boys that are starting to sort of fire at the moment and we're scoring a few goals. Ipswich don't score many goals and I think tomorrow will be quite interesting. We have a good record up there. So to have Michael Jacobs back and amongst the players and on the bench probably, for him to be back up of the players we've got at the moment who are scoring goals, I think, like Andy said earlier, the first 20-25 minutes of tomorrow's game is going to be vital. And if we can get at them and get an early goal or two, I think we'll do all right. And I think we're looking at tomorrow and Tuesday night, I think we can take 6 points out of 6 from those two games. Yeah.
It would be a huge 6 points if we do it, Andy. And something interesting which I want to mention now about Ipswich and their form this season. Their last 5 games, they've returned 2 wins, 2 defeats and a draw. They're on a sort of average run of form. And, you know, we spoke about how, you know, Paul Lambert isn't the most favourable person in East Anglia right now. But looking at the 9 games Ipswich have won in League One this season, they've beaten the likes of Wigan Athletic, who, okay, fair enough, Pompey couldn't beat, but they've beaten Bristol Rovers, Rochdale, Blackpool, Accrington Stanley, Gillingham, Crewe, Shrewsbury and Plymouth Argyle. Okay, you know, you look at Accrington Stanley, they're having a great season as well. Blackpool as well, you know, sort of a mid-table side at the moment. They've got some good players within their squad, though. But then you look at their five defeats. Doncaster Rovers, Lincoln City, Sunderland, Hull and Charlton. Now, I don't know about you, Andy, but when I look at their form this season and the teams they've played against, the teams they've taken points from, the teams they haven't taken points from, they seem to struggle against what you'd call the bigger sides in this division. And as we know, Pompey are one of those.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Pompey, you'd say, have struggled a little bit sometimes against the teams at the lower end of the division. I mean, even though we beat MK Dons, we were basically sat in our own, you know, final first 30 yards for the last 40 minutes of the game. Whereas, if you look at the teams around us, other than Charlton, which was a slight reality check, you know, we've beaten Lincoln, beaten Ipswich. Oh, sorry, we're going to beat Ipswich. Freudian slip. We've, you know, beaten Peterborough last week. We're actually doing pretty well against the teams at the top of the table. And even that Ipswich result against Plymouth at the weekend, they were 1-0 down against until Plymouth went down to 10 men with 20 minutes to go and then turned it around. So if Plymouth had kept their full quota on the pitch, then would Ipswich have turned that round? We'll never know, but possibly not. So you'd have to say that they're there to be beaten, and that's probably famous last words. But I am genuinely backing Pompey to pick up a good result away from home.
Yeah. Some tweets I want to read out before we do leave you at 7 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen. Just some of the reaction from Tuesday night's game. Of course, I know, you know, that's one of the big talking points in tonight's show. Ryan Stillwell, of course, will be analyst for Pompey Live alongside us tomorrow afternoon. He tweeted out after the game on Tuesday night saying, pretty much everything went right for Pompey. The game wrapped up by the 50th minute. Solid minutes for all the youngsters involved. Good showings and some of the seniors as well. Age and youth mixing well all evening to go into the next round. Good effort from all. And Harvey Marks on Twitter also said, but we've got John Marquis on a decent goal tally. Ronan Curtis and Marcus Harness up there also. Naylor is banging the goals in and Hawula scoring in cup games when given a chance. Michael Jacobs is returning soon. So many goal options that it's mad, says Harvey Marks on Twitter. Just going to emphasise how, you know, great Pompey have got, you know, situation-wise and the players they've got at their disposal tomorrow afternoon at Dean. You know, you mentioned Michael Jacobs returning, got John Marquis fit and firing at the moment. Ellis Harrison contributing to the team as well. Ronan Curtis in, you know, a great run of confidence at the moment. This is all round a good time to be a member of a Pompey squad.
Oh, it's great, isn't it? And then goals win games and we've got the players to win games. And if you look, we had a bit of a poor start to the season and every team has a bit of a blip during the season. But if we can keep firing what we're doing, then we're going to be up there or thereabouts. And even look at people like Geordie. And I remember Kenny Jackett came out after the, I think it was the Kings Lynn game. Geordie looked really good on the left. And Kenny came out and said, look, Geordie's not really one of those players that plays behind the striker in those three positions. He's more of a forward player. But Geordie looked really good on the left when he replaced Curtis. He broke forward really quickly. He has pace about him. He's direct. And he scored a great goal. We've got so many options. And as I said, goals win games.
Very good points there from you there, Dean. And I believe that is it from the socials at the moment. It got a bit quiet, but yeah, big game tomorrow afternoon against Ipswich Town, Andy. And it would be a big statement from Pompey if we were to win the game. A great testament going into, well, what we already know is a tough December schedule for the Blues. We've overcome Peterborough United. If we can overcome Ipswich, maybe get a result against Fleetwood on Tuesday night, that sets us up with a what should be an interesting tie at Hull next Friday night.
Yeah, I think, I mean, my shout is that Hull are probably going to walk away with the league a little bit. So I think if we can take points off Ipswich and Fleetwood and potentially get either 4 or 6 points out of those two games, it almost turns that whole game into a, not a free hit, but it takes a lot of pressure off that away tie. I mean, away against top of the league, against a team that have only just come down from the Championship, you know, that's us really going against the odds, isn't it? And if we can go into that, having taken points off Ipswich, who are around us, and Fleetwood, who are going to be on, you know, that sort of, you'd imagine, borderline playoff area by the end of the season, it does take a lot of pressure off the game before we go into some more winnable, or, you know, more objectively winnable games against, you know, Swindon and the Gas, who are struggling a bit at the moment as well before New Year. It would definitely make a statement. And yeah, it's just so tight at the top of the table, isn't it? I mean, we said it was tight at the end of the season where it was decided by points per game, so we know how crucial every single point is now. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I'm back in Pompey to take points off Ipswich, to take 1 point back to Fratton as a minimum, to be honest with you.
Just a quick mention as well before we do leave you. Havant towards Louisville, they're back in action this weekend. They take on Ebbsfleet United away from home in the National League South tomorrow afternoon. They go into that match off the back of a 0-0 draw with Slough Town on Wednesday night. And the Pompey women are also back in playing this weekend. They host MK Dons at the Draper Tools Community Stadium on Sunday for a 2 o'clock kickoff in the Women's National League. Okay, let's get to some of these score predictions coming in to us on the socials now. Jimmy Gorgeous says if they play like they did against Peterborough, then I can see Pompey winning 2-0. If not, I'd hope for a 1-1 draw. Tim Sanders says 2-1 to Pompey. Terry Tong's also going for a Pompey win. He says 1-0. Adrian Wilcox is going for a 2-1 Pompey victory. And Blake O'Neill says, I reckon it'll be close tomorrow, but I reckon we'll edge it. It'll either be 1-1 or a similar winning 2-1. A big game, but we can't afford to lose. Pompey fans, unfortunately, can't be with us tomorrow afternoon at Portman Road. But don't forget, you can catch all of the unmissable action right here on Express FM.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Pompey eased into the second knockout round of the EFL Trophy on Tuesday evening following a 3-0 win over Cheltenham Town at Waddon Road. Up next, a League One away trip to Ipswich Town awaits for Kenny Jackett's side. Join us for all of the unmissable action Saturday from 2. It's Ipswich versus Pompey right here on Pompey Live.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
It's third versus fourth at Portman Road. It's going to be a big, big game in League One tomorrow afternoon. Don't forget you can catch all of the unmissable action. Myself and Ryan Stilwell will be live with full coverage of the game. Hopefully, Pompey can get a much-needed 3 points against their promotion rivals. OK, coming up this evening here on Express FM, Connor Mosley is back with Express Floor Fillers after the 7 o'clock headlines. He's playing the biggest tunes to get you ready for this weekend. And then from 11 o'clock through till 2 a.m, we've got Express Party, nothing but just the greatest party songs to get you through into Saturday morning. Mason Jordan wakes you up with Saturday breakfast. No, he doesn't. Ian McGuinness does. Of course he does. How could I forget? Ian McGuinness is back from 8 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. He's got non-stop 80s, 4 from 40 from 1996, and of course a movies update with John Brown. Mason is back from 11 o'clock. He's got all songs all day long, and you can get in touch with him on Express FM via Twitter. And then Pompey Live, it's third versus fourth, as we mentioned, live at Portman Road. Can the Blues win against Ipswich Town? They did so in October in the first round of the FA Cup, but they need to replicate that tomorrow afternoon and get all 3 points. Can they do it? You can catch all of the unmissable action right here on 93.7 Express FM and I Follow Pompey. But until tomorrow afternoon, Pompey fans, have a great evening, enjoy your weekend, and play up Pompey. Good night.